All right, it's the special Masters edition of Armchair Sports Talk. Other two busy with their day job, so I brought in the man, the myth, the legend. He's got the short game of Phil Mickelson and the mental fortitude of Tin Cup, Dave Rieger. How you doing today, buddy?
I appreciate all of the accolades. Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, you're also the only guy that's ever seen me hit a PGA caliber 3-wood off the deck.
Oh, man.
Par 5.
Oh, my. Yes. That was epic. It was at Glen Oaks, right?
Glen Oaks.
Oh, man. That was the 3-wood, and you still have that 3-wood?
I know. I got rid of that 3-wood like 2 weeks later. That's what
I mean, that was an epic shot.
But we've also seen you with the, like I said, the short game of Phil Mickelson chipping in.
That was one of the best bogeys ever at Glen Oaks.
At Glen Oaks. We do great things at Glen Oaks.
We do.
If they host a PGA Tour event there, you and I could probably do something.
We need to go to advertise on Eric's podcast, please.
Absolutely. Glen Oaks, if you're looking for advertisement, come over here. Like I said, this is the Masters edition. So we'll give our predictions. We're going to talk it, but it's the headline everywhere, so it's got to be the headline here. You have two defects in my mind, and one is that you're a Denver Broncos fan. We'll never change you of
that.
Yeah. The other one is that you and I are constant rivals because, as everybody knows on this show, Phil Mickelson is my guy. I love Phil Mickelson. Well, the only guy that could ever be better than Phil Mickelson was Tiger Woods, and you love yourself some T. Woods.
Love myself some Tiger Woods, and the fact that he's practicing with his son at Augusta, mm-hmm. and people are thinking, will he, you know, attempt to play? I mean, I'm watching. That's must-see television. I mean, it'd be just like, you know, God, I can't even compare it to anything. Yeah. I mean, surviving what he survived, and it would be incredible. Even if he, you know, didn't make the cut and was way off, you know that he would be one of the featured pairings as we like to watch the early rounds on all the streaming services that we belong to to watch the Masters. So, I mean, it would be great. I don't know if it's going to happen, but you know, that just brings another layer of excellence to, obviously, you know, at least one of the two top of the four majors. I it's got to be top two, you know.
Masters in the Open.
Exactly.
For me. Yeah. I love those. The thing for me, and you can remember better than I because you are a little bit older than me. I remember Tiger's career from beginning to end. It was, you know, you knew this guy was going to be something. But when you look at Tiger Woods, how much different is the Masters when the man in red is prowling the grounds than when he's not there? Because we've seen a couple years where he just isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously it started in 97. And, the hug with his dad and, you know, and then, you know, a couple years ago when he won, 2019, I think. And, I mean, I remember where I was. I mean, I was at work at a remote and we were at a home show and they had it on television at the bar that was set up. And I'm not talking like just the patrons of the home show. I'm talking the exhibitors. Everybody left the booth and we were just surrounding this bar to watch to see if he was going to pull off the win. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, Molinari, he faltered, and Koepka, he faltered. But hey, I think that they felt the footsteps. It was like this was vintage Tiger, although it was his first comeback, if I'm not mistaken, ever,
yeah.
You know, where he wasn't leading after 3 days to win. And it was like, okay, you guys wanted to see what it was like to play with Tiger on a Sunday when he was coming. And it's just a different noise from the crowd.
Oh,
it's absolutely. It's just that 10-year span that he had, you know, from like 97 to 2008. I mean, I never saw Nicholas play live, you know.
I think,
you know, I mean,
count.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I was, when Jack won his last one, I was like 13.
Okay.
You know, I don't think I was into golf at that age.
Mm.
You know, it was the greatest golf I've ever seen, most exciting golf that I've ever seen. So just the fact that if he could be in the field, it just brings the, you know, and with Phil not being there, you know, it just brings that much more excitement to Augusta, I think.
See, that's what I wanted more than anything else was a Tiger and Phil when it's not really the Tiger and Phil show anymore.
Yeah.
Just give them 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Let them go out and have fun. And you know that's going to be a featured group. Everybody's going to want to follow it. And like you said, they both finished 6 over and missed the cut, whatever. You got to see 2 days of legends because even though they're still competitive golfers and they're still great golfers, they're starting to phase into that Gary and Jack or Arnie and Jack kind of phase where they're still relevant, but they're not the marquee anymore. So I would have loved it. But for me, the Molinari thing, that's what golf is. Someone has to crash if they're in the lead for someone else, or someone has to really turn it on. So that happens a million times. I mean, how many times did Greg Norman have the Masters wrapped up and then he shanks a shot into, you know, right of the green and has got to figure it out? That's just what golf is. It's going to happen. You can go back and look at all these majors, and someone at some point had it in their hands and they completely let it go. So,
And you know what? And I am, you know, I'm not a Phil fan, but I'm bummed. I mean, I like seeing him. I mean, Phil plays Augusta pretty good. I mean, that
green jackets doesn't hurt.
That shot that he had hit out, is that 15, that pine straw? Yeah, 13, I mean, 13. Yeah. I mean, that was,
we're going to get to that.
I mean, that was pretty awesome. We're so, gonna... I mean, you know, Phil will be back. He's just taking some time away, and you know he'll be back. So
all right, so staying with Tiger, that's, you know, I believe he's got five green jackets.
I think he's got five green jackets. Yeah.
Okay, which one's the best?
Oh, that's a good question.
You got the year that he basically had to put it on himself because he did back to back.
Yeah,
there was the most fun watching him give it to Phil give it right back, him give it right back to Phil was enjoyable.
Yeah,
and then of course, like you said, the story, you can go from the 97 hug with his dad to the 19 hug where it's him holding his son.
Let's not forget the shot against Chris DeMarco. Where the you know, the roll and the Nike swoosh and the
greatest,
you know,
shot ever.
You know, I mean,
the,
you know, so that one was good. I mean, you know, I mean, they're all great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's to rank them. Obviously, people are going to say 97. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that was his explosion onto the scene. But I kind of like the one in 2019. I mean, it was just the full circle, if you will, of his whole, you know, career. And it was just incredible. I mean, because if you remember, he had played earlier in the PGA and he was on the move to win. And I think he was in the lead, I want to say on the last day, or tied for the lead halfway through, and then just didn't.
He didn't. He just did. He just
didn't finish. And he admitted. He said that it kind of, the butterflies and the nerves kind of got to him a little bit. And but at that Masters, I mean, I was like, I can remember his tee shot on that shot on 17 was incredible. That almost went in, and then that tee shot on 18, and then his second shot, he was kind of underneath the overhang, but the thing about Tiger is he knew exactly how to play that hole. He knew what he needed. He knew where to put it so he could leave himself an easy putt. He just knows the course, and that was what makes, you know, part of what makes Tiger Woods so special is his knowledge of when he's playing and his knowledge of these courses. And, you know, nobody knows Augusta as well as him. So
for me, it's 19. I agree, 97. You can look at 05 and what he did, and it was phenomenal. For me, it's 2019. For the reason of, I have always said, and I will continue to say, Tiger Woods is one of the greatest golfers we've ever seen. Jack Nicklaus is still the greatest golfer of all time. He played, in my opinion, in the early part, a tougher era. He had Arnie, he had Gary, he had Tom Watson, he had all these other guys who I'm forgetting that he had to compete with Johnny Miller, who for a stretch there was unbeatable. He had a lot of tougher. When Tiger came in, Faldo was kind of tapering off. Ernie Els and Phil Mickelson were his two big competitions. Now, both great golfers. Phil lived up to the name, getting the majors, but Tiger didn't have that big gallery to have to fight against. He still played phenomenal golf. But for me, it was 2019 because now he's going against people that are younger than him, hit it farther than him, are in far better shape than him. And that's when he reached Jack level for me, because he said, the body might not be able to do what you guys can do, but upstairs is better than all of you. I still have the fortitude to, I don't mess up. If I do make a mistake, it gets fixed very quickly. And he did that in 2019. Going into that year, no one's expecting Tiger Woods to win a Masters. He's done. He's not winning majors. He might win a match play. He might win the Honda Classic or something. He's not winning the Masters. And he, you know, stayed it all together. Like you said, he knows that course better than anyone. He plotted around it perfectly, hit the shots he needed to hit. And at the end of the day, the guy's got another green jacket and just keeps getting closer and closer. Now, if he wants to beat Jack's record, he needs to pick it up. But it's just, it really did show you can never count me out. And that's what we're getting here again. Like you said, he could miss the cut by 10 strokes. People are still going to talk about Tiger played. Can you believe he played in the Masters after all that? Can you believe it? I personally don't think he's going to play. I really don't. I think this was a chance to go play with Charlie to see where the game's at. Because I think he's gauging for what's coming up. The Masters is great. There's still a whole season. There's three other majors. All these majors mean the same to him. I personally think he's gearing up for the Open because that'd be the easiest one for him. He doesn't have to bomb
drives. Do we know where the Open is this year?
I can look. Okay. He doesn't have to bomb drives. He just has to keep it in play, like kind of like what he does at Augusta, plot it around. I just don't think he's in. If he was ready to play the Masters, we would know he was ready.
I don't think Tiger has another U.S. Open in his future. No. I don't necessarily know if he has another PGA in his future, but I think the two majors that he has the best chance at would be Augusta and the Open Championship for just the reason you said. He can just put the shot where he needs to. You don't need to be, especially at the Open, you don't need to be long. Well, you just need to be accurate.
You know where the Open's at.
It's got to be St. Andrews.
It's Tiger's home.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, that guy, he won it playing with a 2-iron, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
And not hitting any of the pot bunkers. So, yeah.
So yeah. That's what
so
I'm saying.
So you could be right. He could be.
I just don't.
He might, yeah. And he might be setting up for the Open.
If he was going to be playing in the Masters, look, if he plays, he plays, and that's great. If he was going to be playing in the Masters, we wouldn't be just finding out he's playing around. He would have been living at Augusta. There would have been stories. Tiger's been on the grounds at Augusta for the last 2 weeks. Like, there would have been more to it. It just doesn't seem like he's going to go there a week and a half ahead of time, play 18 holes, and then go, yeah, I think I'm going to do this. Like, he would be building up to be able to do it. He would literally be not doing anything but playing Augusta.
And kudos to you for calling it the Open Championship and not the British Open. That really annoys me.
I grew up with it being the British Open, and
yeah,
but
it changed at one point. It changed. That's fine. I'm fine with it.
One day they just took the British off. It's the Open Championship.
I like it better with the Open. It just gives it a more majestic feeling.
I like it too. Well, it's also not the British Open because they play in other parts. I mean, they play in Scotland. They play in Ireland. They play in other places. I mean, I get it's
right,
but. And the fact that it's at the old course just puts Tiger, he's automatically in one of the favorites right there.
Sure.
So I like it. Yeah. You mentioned the shot on 13 from Phil out of the pine straw.
Ugh.
So you have a little bit further of history to go back on. What is the greatest shot in your mind that ever been hit at Augusta?
Oh, man. I mean, Tiger's shot is great.
See, I have to ask, why is that great? He chipped in.
I think it was just a moment. I think it was more. It might have been more the moment than the shot.
Okay,
to be honest with you,
I guarantee you, if you go back and rewatch that Masters, I guarantee you, 20 other people chipped in on a hole that day.
I mean, possibly, but
because it was Tiger, because the Nike swoosh stopped how it did.
I know.
It's
Vern Lundquist's call.
Yeah, I mean, it was just.
I mean, Phil's shot out of the straw was absolutely incredible. Obviously, there have been some other ones. That also have been pretty incredible, but
Jack's putt with the yes sir.
That's a great moment. Tiger's. Do you remember Tiger's shot that hit the stick and then went into the water? I mean, I remember that one at Augusta. I remember Rory on his way to winning and then ended up driving into the guy's backyard. I remember that. There's been a lot. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I think Louis Oosthuizen has a albatross at the Masters.
Number two.
Yeah.
Only second person to ever do it.
I remember that.
First person to ever do it when it was televised.
I remember Bubba's shot in extra holes against Louis. Mm-hmm. So there was Adam Scott. In his win, Sergio. I mean, there have been some memorable shots. I think it's kind of hard to. I'd have to probably go back through and watch a bunch of them again. And we're not obviously taking into account anything that happened when we were younger either. That were probably just as awesome,
Well, there's a lot we missed because it was either before our time.
Obviously.
It wasn't televised. I mean, if you could tell me right now, I could go back and watch Bobby Jones play the course he designed. Like, that sounds amazing. Ben Hogan, Sam Snead. We didn't get to see those guys.
Right.
Honestly, you would think with Phil, I would say the shot out of 13. It's my favorite shot personally because, I know what it led to. For me, though, it's a playoff This guy has no majors to his, you know, to his resume. He's taking a chance. I believe he was, I believe it was Oosthuizen he was playing in that playoff. I'm double checking here. Mr. Bubba Watson in 2012?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Bubba, yeah.
Yeah, he's playing Louis Oosthuizen in the playoff.
Yeah.
It's the shot at 10 where he just hooks it. Because that shot had the most risk possible. He could put up a 9 hitting that shot.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, Bubba just can't finish when it's, you know, when it matters. He goes and wins a Masters, and it's it solidified him. It made him who he was. Phil already had 2 green jackets. Phil hits that shot, and he misses a little right. There's all the grass in the world. He chips on. No one thinks anything of it. The right. worst case, it goes in the water. He takes a penalty, and he still gets a par out of it. So for Bubba, that was the biggest risk. He had so much to risk there.
It was a great shot.
Because if he loses that one, who knows if he ever can get it going again to win another one 2 years later. So for me, it's out of 10. It's just what he did and how he did that. I have no idea. I can't do that on command. I can do it on accident.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen me do it on accident. But
hey, you know, listen, I've always said if I had 1% of a professional golfer's skill, I would be an incredible golfer. You know.
If I had that much, I would just be a golfer. I mean, I just try. Everybody compliments my game.
You're better than a duffer. We know.
Yeah. All right, 2022 Masters. It's coming up. To me, this is the start of the golf year. I mean, everything we've seen before that, it's fun, but I look at it as preseason. It means something, but to me, it means more to like the guys who are just trying to get enough points to qualify for the Masters.
Right.
So this is what starts the year. Obviously, we were going over the field beforehand. You've got Rahm as the favorite, plus 900, Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy. The guy who appears to be on fire at 2 guys is Cameron Smith, who absolutely just destroyed the players.
Rocket Mortgage Classic winner last year,
took over. And then Scottie Scheffler, who world number one.
He's got three wins this year already?
3 wins in like 5 weeks.
Incredible.
He's made more money in the last 3 weeks than he did the last 2 years on tour. It's insane what he's doing. The thing I don't like about it, don't get me wrong, he's playing phenomenal golf. I think it's become too easy to become world number one. Like, and that might be because we spent like 7 years watching Tiger just hold it and never give it up.
Right.
But since then, it just seems like every 3 weeks, it's like, oh, if this guy makes this random putt, he's the number one player in the world. No, he's not. Because, well, I'll use the case we're in right now. John Rahm is still playing golf. And John Rahm is still an elite-level golfer. The points don't make you the best player in the world. The fact that you are the best player in the world does that. I mean, it might be because Tiger had such a lap on the field that we never had to do the math. But to me, it's just weird. Like, how can the best player in the world not be the best player in the world because someone made a putt on 17 to give them just enough points to lap?
Well, that's the whole thing about it, is like, you got all these top players that they take off all of these tournaments before the Masters, these tune-up tournaments, and so all these other guys get all these points, and then they catch them. So I would agree with you. I think that it's a little, I think wait till the end of the year and then see what happens after we've gone through everything, and then see who the world number one is. When you're getting the players and you get more into where they're going to play the more of the events, because there is a rule. There is a rule. Jordan Spieth fell into that trap last year where you have to play so many events, and I think it's the PGA's way of getting the bigger names to the smaller venues, kind of like load management in the NBA, if you will.
Yeah.
So wait till the end of the year and we'll see who ends up as world number one at that point in time. I would agree with you. At the beginning of the year, it doesn't mean much.
It's why the Valero, no offense to the Valero, it's a fun tournament. Mm-hmm. It's why it's usually the proving grounds for the younger guys, because if you win there, you go to the Masters the following week. Everybody else has already, you know, got their Airbnbs booked in Augusta.
I mean, I would say you got the one in Phoenix, the Waste Management. You've got the players, the fifth major, if you will, and you got the WGC that goes on.
Sure, fun.
I don't know about any other tournaments that really live up to those three. So, Bay Hill, of course, because it's Arnie's place. Mm-hmm. So that lead up to the. So you're 100% right. I would agree with you.
I agree though. Like after Eastlake, after the FedEx Cup, you can reevaluate at the end of the year.
Right.
If Scottie Scheffler has done enough to earn that right, give it to him. But Rahm hasn't even played. Like you don't know that Scottie Scheffler can get the points to keep up with Rahm if Rahm is doing everything Scottie Scheffler is. So it's just weird that like in the course of a year we can have like four number ones in the world, and it's like
right. That's it didn't used to be like that, because Tiger was like what 660 some weeks or something like that oh, that yeah, he was number
owned,
one. It was
he owned it.
It was ridiculous.
It was crazy, yeah. And it always bothered me too, because Phil literally for 660 something
was number two.
Was the number two player. He was the best player on the planet, not named Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
And I enjoyed it for that. And it always makes me wish that we had had this 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I would have liked to have known what does it look like with Jack? Were Arnie and Gary just living right there, or did it would it have shuffled?
Yeah, you know,
Jack technically wouldn't even have been right. Good. Jack didn't play enough.
And you know, and Jack finished a lot second place in a lot of tournaments too. So, you know, I made
more seconds than he does.
You know, I think that you know, we'll get into the argument of would Tiger have won back then? Would Jack have been able to win with this technology now? You know, people were there when they were there, and you know, it was Jack, it was Arnie, it was Ben Hogan, it was Jack, it was Arnie, it was Gary Player, and then it was Ernie Els and Nick Faldo, and then it was Tiger, and it was let's not forget the guy from overseas who people just love to hate, but he was really good. He never won a major. From back in the day.
Colin Montgomery.
Yep. Montgomery. And then you've got, you know, then Tiger comes along and Ernie David and Phil, Duvall,
who, if he had stayed healthy, could have really rivaled Tiger.
Yeah, his back got messed up.
He couldn't do it.
So, yeah. So, you know, and now it's like wide open field. We had this discussion the other day. You know, they were always looking for the next Tiger Woods. You know, it was Jordan Spieth. It was Rory McIlroy. It was Dustin Johnson. It was Brooks Koepka. Yep. It's Colin Morikawa. It's Justin Thomas. It's, you know, Ricky Fowler. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if you're going to get another, you know, these are once in generation players. Golf has happened to have a couple of once-in-generation players. So I don't know who the next one is going to be. It's a great question.
I will say, to answer your question you kind of posed a minute ago, Tiger wins back in Jack's era. I don't think Jack wins like that in Tiger's era for the reason of Tiger grew up playing the clubs that Jack was playing. So Tiger was still phenomenal.
Good point.
Doing that.
That's a valid point.
And he could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I had an actual wood fairway wood for about 3 years.
Yeah,
like
a long time ago, the persimmon
when
wood.
I started
yeah,
playing golf, and mm-hmm. I could do anything I wanted with it. And then the metal one came around. I had to go get the first driver I ever had, the TaylorMade R580.
I remember those. Yeah,
it was horrible. It was the slice-o-matic is what I called it because I couldn't do anything. So I think because of that, Jack definitely would have been the longest hitter on tour and all this. But I think. I just think it would be different. Tiger knew the technology and was successful with it as much then as he is now. So Tiger wins
in
that era.
That's a good point.
Jack still wins. Don't get me wrong. You're not that good at golf and you don't manage to win. I just don't think 18 majors. I mean, look what Tiger did. Tiger had the best 5, 6, 7 years anyone has ever seen in the game of golf. And he still is 4-3 majors shy of Jack at this point. Yep. Now, he had a big lapse.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
But like Tiger, I think the closest in my lifetime, the closest we will ever see to someone rivaling what Tiger did is what we saw with Jordan Spieth, where for a year and a half, Jordan Spieth had the greatest hot streak. And if you're a golfer, you know what a hot streak is. Mm-hmm. It's that whether it's the week, month, you know, whatever, that you just you play the best golf. You don't have to think about it. You just put it in the ground, smack it, and it goes exactly where you want it to. And then when it goes away, it goes away. And that's what happened with Jordan. It went away, and he...
I think he lost it at Rays Creek.
That Rays Creek, 12 is forever going to be the worst place on earth.
Because that was the year that... who came back and won that one?
I think it was... Well, he won it in 15.
I think he was going back-to-back. And
Danny Willett won 16.
Willett came out of nowhere to win that because I think he put two in the drink at Rays Creek. Yeah.
Two in the drink. So I think what we saw with Jordan Spieth from Augusta to Chambers Bay, which if you want to call that a golf course, go ahead.
The one in San Francisco?
Yeah, no, that was the one in Washington. That's where they had the U.S. Open. It was burned out entirely.
Okay.
And no one was a fan of that course. And he won it because Dustin Johnson three-putted.
Yeah, he couldn't putt, yeah.
But you think about it. He was in the final group of every major that
year. You can
year.
Also say that he also won his Open Championship based on a rules technicality that the RNA had a little bit different than the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, now
but then you think he the at the PGA Championship, Jason Day, he was in the final group with Jason Day. He had the best year in golf we've seen mm-hmm. since Tiger Woods. Now, he's since struggled to get back. He shows flashes. He's got a couple wins.
I guess you could say Brooks Koepka. I mean, he's Mr. Major, but even he's battling injuries now. Yeah. That and, of course, our good friend Bryson DeChambeau also.
Those two just tried to chase the speed.
Is he playing the bat?
He says he's going to, but he's only going to hit 80% shots.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
He just chased the speed, and it didn't work out. And as soon as I saw that was the first thing I said is, oh, no, you tried to do something they're telling you is not good for your body, and it hurt you. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fun conversation to have.
It is.
Of the four majors, this one seems to be the one where you don't have to be Tiger Woods to win it.
You know,
you have
and
Danny Willett.
It's the only one that's always at the same place.
They
tried tiger-proofing Augusta. We saw that it really didn't work. they found ways around it. And, you know, there's a reason why it's the only major that stays at that place. Mm-hmm. It's just a special place.
It's also, to me, a career maker. I mean, look.
Of course.
I read these names to most people.
Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama. But think about it. Mike Weir, Trevor Immelman, Zach Johnson, Danny Willett. These guys, I mean, not that these guys are bad golfers at all, but Mike Weir is playing on sponsors exemptions because he never really manifested. Trevor Immelman is a commentator after winning it. Zach Johnson, now he went on to win an Open at St. Andrews. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Danny Willett, really, like, he had a couple years there, but he's kind of fallen under the background.
Right.
It's not necessarily Angel Cabrera, another great golfer, but it's almost one of those.
He's got some other problems besides golf, but
it's almost become that tournament where it's almost the people's major. Like, you don't have to be Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, you know, Brooks Koepka to win this thing. You can be that middle of the guy. It's just if you have four good days of golf.
Right.
So I like it for that. I think it's fun. But we have to, of course, make picks. It's imperative. I'm going to lead off and say my favorite, unequivocally, Colin Morikawa. I think this guy has the game. He's going to get the third leg of the Grand Slam. He's long enough for the tiger-proofing to not matter, but he's the most accurate player I've seen with an iron since Tiger Woods. The ball doesn't move. It goes exactly where he aimed it. And he's phenomenal, phenomenal golfer. I think you can expect a lot of winning out of him. So my favorite's going to be Colin Morikawa.
I'm going to say Rory McIlroy.
I know you mentioned that earlier.
I think that he gets the career Grand Slam, and I think he wins.
You think the mental block goes away? I think, at Augusta.
I think that I think this might be his year.
See, I would love that too, because I always thought Rory was going to be the next Tiger. We saw him coming out, you know, the bushy hair and all that. And
the other guy I would like to see, just for personal reasons, would be Justin Thomas. But
have a thing for him.
But I'm thinking Rory.
Right. What Rory did, I think it was 2013 at the U.S. Open, where he just ran away from the field. Yeah. It's still one of the best performances I can ever remember seeing. So I just hope the mental block goes away, because Rory getting the Grand Slam would be amazing.
Yeah, be cool.
He's one of those
great
guys.
Story.
He's one of those guys that I would really love to see get the Grand Slam. But like Jordan, I just think I honestly believe he could come into that tournament playing laser golf, like, doesn't miss a thing. It's almost like the second you step onto those grounds, it's like you just lose your powers. Your powers are gone, and he can't seem to put 4 days together that do it. But
Justin,
I would not be upset.
You know what? It's just
Justin Thomas doesn't have the mental fortitude for Augusta.
Jordan Spieth. What worries me is, like, he gets hot and then he gets cold and he gets hot and then he gets cold, and it's that putting. And that was a great putt at 20. Like, he was the greatest putter from like 30 feet, 20 feet, but yet he misses like 3 foot one. You know, it's like that kind of thing that I don't know if he's totally got over that yet.
I don't know
if his mental, you know, capacity, but Rory. He's got the length. He's got the short game. His putting is sometimes great, sometimes, you know, but you know, I just think that I think that maybe this is his year. We'll see.
Yeah, Justin Thomas, to me, I don't think he lets the crowd get too much into his game. That's one thing that I mentioned this to you the other day. That's one thing Tiger Woods never did.
Oh,
like
yeah.
him or love him,
oh, yeah.
I genuinely believe he didn't know there were actually other people there when he played. He was ignoring kids for high fives. All these other guys, they want to high five the kids and sign the hat.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods walked past.
You know,
Tiger Woods' mother could go ask him for a hug and he would walk right past.
There's only a few people in sports that I consider just like stone cold killers, right? Tiger Woods, one of them, Michael Jordan, you know, Mike Tyson in his prime, Muhammad Ali. You know, there's Kobe Bryant. You know, there's just only a few. And Tiger just, I mean, that's why he was raised. I mean, you watch that documentary, HBO, they did a fantastic 2-part documentary on Tiger Woods. I mean, he was raised. He's a robot. I mean, this was what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, and so except for the 2019 Tiger Woods that won the Masters, this was the new evolved Tiger Woods. This was the different Tiger Woods. But all the earlier Tiger Woods stuff was just Tiger Woods is coming to the course. It's Sunday. He's got the red shirt on. He's in the lead. Okay, here you go. We'll put down our clubs and go ahead and get your major.
I think pre-2008 Tiger Woods needed to never turn it off. He wasn't. Once he turned it off, I think he had too much of a hard time zoning back in.
Yeah.
2019 Tiger Woods had learned how to, you know, I could stand on the tee with Hideki or with Molinari, and we can chat and laugh and joke. And then it's like, now on the tee, Tiger Woods, and it was like light switch, and he went along and did his business. He was still able to wave, thank you so much, and all that, but he was able to, before he touched the ball, that light switch flipped for him, and he was able to do it, and then he'd come back. Almost like selective memory. Like, he would hit it and go, all right, where'd it go? Because he was so zoned in, he didn't know.
Yeah. He knows where to miss.
He knows where to miss, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. With Justin Thomas, you see a fan say something, and I can see that.
He's not there yet. I can see that.
And he's got a major, too. So everybody's like, well, what are you saying? He's got a major. It's like,
I can see that.
But guys that win majors don't turn around after a guy said it should hit a flop shot. That shouldn't even register in your head.
Right.
It should just be, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Smack the ball. But he lets it get to him.
Sure, I can see that,
So I just think Masters, there's no room to hide at Augusta. They put people right up against there, so
yeah, this is
no
gonna be. It's gonna be. It's gonna be, especially if Tiger's there playing. Oh man,
absolutely,
it's gonna be crazy.
All right, so for long shots, I said, I gave you a little caveat.
Yeah, what's our list
it's
here?
Be plus, I'll. You know what? Yeah. Just because he's there, I'll start right there.
Okay.
At plus 6,000.
Okay.
Is Tiger Woods.
Okay.
A list of other people that you can go with: Webb Simpson, Corey Connors, Bubba Watson, Abraham Answer, Ricky Fowler, Mark Leishman, Sergio, Matt Wolf, Gary Woodland, Brian Harman, Billy Horschel, Lee Westwood, Jason Kokrak, Siwoo Kim, Harris English, Cameron Champ.
How can you not go with Bubba?
It's tough not to go with Bubba because that third.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, he's won there. I mean, how can you not go with Bubba? He's got to be the only guy, except for Tiger on the list, that has multiple green jackets.
That's a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to go with Bubba.
Actually, I would dare to say that they're the only two people on this list altogether.
Yeah.
That have two green jackets. A couple people have one.
I mean, you got some extra money stashed away for a special day. Put it down on Bubba Watson, maybe.
Yeah, I like Bubba Watson. Yeah. It's not a bad choice. I'm actually going to go with a guy that's not even on the list, which means he's even further off.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Kevin Kisner.
You love yourself some Kevin Kisner.
But let me say, the WGC, they showed his record. He's phenomenal at that. Which you told me. Wonder why he's not a Ryder Cup player.
We were talking when they that one morning. You said that if Kisner has to face Scheffler, which he did, he wasn't going to be able to win. Nope. You were 100% right.
Yep. So I like Kevin Kisner for that, but also it's his backyard. He literally grew up. He lives like 20 minutes from Augusta. And that's why I like it for him. He's playing good golf. He's proven he can play with the level of everybody else out there. And think about it. You get to go home and sleep in your own bed at night. It's not, you know, you're not in a foreign area. You get to have your life. So I like Kevin Kisner. I think
Not a bad pick.
A major's coming for him. It's just going to be which one, because he's not a long player.
Right.
And that's why I like Augusta, because look, Zach Johnson won at Augusta.
And he's not long.
I hit the ball as far as Zach Johnson does sometimes. So you don't have, even though it's, you got to be long to play the course, not necessarily. You just got to be really good wedge player, Kevin Kisner is, and you got to be a phenomenal putter. He's one of the top in the tour with putting.
Right.
So I like Kevin Kisner for it. I really do.
Okay. I can't fault you for that.
Now the interesting one, and I have odds, but I literally mentioned all the major names you need to know. Of those quote unquote favorites,
mm-hmm.
who's the one that you would, if someone asked you who should I avoid, who's the person that you would be a favorite, you would say avoid like a plague? Who's the guy that doesn't have Augusta in the bag?
Oh man, that's a good question.
You got Jon Rahm, mm-hmm. Jordan Spieth, yeah. Like I said, Colin Morikawa, mm-hmm. JT, Rory, Dustin, yeah. Cameron Smith, yeah. Scotty Scheffler, Hideki, Will Zalatoris, Patrick mm-hmm. Reed, mm-hmm. Louis Oosthuizen, Jason Day, Justin Rose.
God, all major winners.
All major winners.
Tommy
Fleetwood, who everybody's just waiting to see breakthrough. But
okay, Zalatoris is not a major winner, but okay. Obviously he's an up-and-comer that a lot of people like. I probably would go Jason Day only because he's got some back issues, mm-hmm. and whether or not he's back on, I remember him when he was going to be the guy.
He was going to be the guy.
And so I'd say Jason Day.
Jason Day. I want to see Jason Day win more than anyone.
Sure.
I love when he's playing golf. It's yeah. great golf.
He's great.
But I think the back issues, we've mm-hmm. seen what it went through with Tiger. So anytime you hear back issue, you're almost like, okay, right. take yeah. a seat. I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood. I genuinely, and I don't mean this meanly, I root for him every time I see him tee it up. I genuinely think Tommy Fleetwood is the new Sergio. He's going to be that guy that's there every time, and just every time someone else takes it from him.
Speaking of that, the one guy that I would love to see win is a long shot, and I don't know what his odds are, Lee Westwood.
See, Lee Westwood is...
He is that. Second up.
Well, he's Colin Montgomery. You
know, yeah,
he's another English yeah. guy who I think he was world number one at one point.
And
was
Paul Casey's another guy. One that Paul would be Casey. That would be nice to see. So you know,
I think that's what it is that these guys are all a phenomenal golfers. They're yeah. all far better than any of us. But that's why you see the Open being where they all succeed, because that's the golf they grew up with. They
sure.
come over here and we all know we know what you know U.S. golf's like. You can hit a club and it stops a foot from the hole.
Right.
These guys are used to having to stop, land it 20 feet past that and let it right. do its thing.
Yeah, putting from the fairway. Yeah.
yeah. So Lee Westwood, and see, for me, Lee Westwood's that kind of guy. Like, I don't know where he is in age. He's got to be very close. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that needs to, like Bernhard Langer, needs to get on the Champions Tour mm-hmm. as fast as he can, because I think he's still young enough
right.
and can hit it well enough.
Hey, Bernhard Langer, I'm sure, is playing in this.
He's not on the odds, but I guarantee him and Freddie Couples, you know those two are going to be there. I
forgot about Freddie.
I love Freddie.
Yeah, he won 92, right? Yeah.
92 and yeah. in the lead at least once every yeah. year for some reason.
I mean, if we're gonna pick a guy, if we're gonna pick a vet, you know, a grizzled old veteran to come in, like give us the Tom Watson who almost won the Open a couple years back, mm-hmm. and Phil even last year at the PGA,
got me some money out of that one.
You know, yeah. give me some Bernhard Langer. That would be solid.
That's the thing that's always got me is you see him winning like crazy on the Champions.
Yeah.
It's like why isn't he coming over here and doing that once or twice on the regular
yeah.
tour?
I mean, that guy's always around.
He is.
Him and Freddie Couples too would be sweet. You know who else I would like to see, and he's not veteran by any means. Would be Ricky Fowler. He
yeah.
seems to be of that young group of the Justin Thomas's, Jordan Spieth's, Colin Morikawa's. You know, of so great, but never got the major.
I think he's going to end up unless he can course correct.
He might be the new Sergio too.
Sergio, I was going to say I think he's going to be the Duval.
Okay.
He's going to be the guy that had all the potential. Now, it might not be for injury, but like, yeah. there's a reason when you talk about that. You say Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, mm-hmm. Ernie Els.
Right.
And then you want to say David Duval because he was that good.
Right.
But you look at the other three, and it's like these guys all have something you never got. So you talk about Justin Thomas,
right.
you know, or Jordan Spieth, all those guys. And I just think unless Fowler can find a way to get one mm-hmm. across the board somewhere,
yeah.
I think he becomes the Duval.
You know, don't rule out Brooks Koepka. Don't rule out Rahm.
I don't think Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka, everybody's like, oh, yeah, he hits it so far. But
yeah.
he is becoming that guy that he doesn't really know where it's going.
Yeah, not to mention the fact, I don't think he really cares too much, to be honest.
He's been quoted as saying that he just plays the game because he's good
don't,
at it.
Dustin Johnson, you know, there's so many. That this field is so wide open, And then there's always somebody after day one that's like the surprise that it's like, who is this guy? You know, yeah. that
there's an amateur that, you know, who's one off the lead that, for that some is,
and you know, good luck to James Pyatt,
James Pyatt
from Michigan yeah. State.
He'll
you know,
be, he'll be there,
the amateur winner. So yeah, I think it's gonna be great. Obviously, it's gonna be this is bad English, but be more great if Tiger great. Woods is in there. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It is the start of summer. It is the, in my, you know, it's NFL, and then it's golf, and then we're back to NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the bridge. Not that baseball, hockey, basketball aren't great, but for me, it's, you know, it's football and golf.
Yeah.
So those are the two seasons. You're always sad when football ends, but then golf starts, and then you're always sad when golf ends, and then football starts.
Then football's
so this is like the bridge, and like obviously I'm excited for the Masters, but like I had told you before, you know, I'm looking for that next guy to get behind as Tiger ends his career. So we'll see. Maybe that next guy will come out of the Masters
There's
this year.
Plenty of room we'll on see. The Colin Morikawa fandom. You just got to decide.
I like Morikawa.
What you did, though, wraps the show up perfectly because I told you this is how we're going to end the show. You rattled off a lot of names
yeah.
right there, some really good names.
Yeah.
Pull out that crystal ball, mm-hmm. you know, give it a good look.
Yeah.
You got to pick one guy. Now, they don't have to win multiple, but one guy who you are going to put the Dave Rieger stamp of approval, mm-hmm. this person will have a major come FedEx Cup at the end
You're
of the
year. Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy,
I think this is his year to get not even, I think he may get multiple majors this year.
Okay. I picked Colin Morikawa to win the Masters.
Okay.
If I had to put my money on a guy, I'm putting my money on the favorite to win the Masters this year, John Rahm.
Okay. That's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick.
Not a bad
it's
pick.
Very safe pick. But you know what it is? It's one, he just lost world number one, whatever that means to him. Mm-hmm. He's going to prove everybody, no, I'm still better. But this guy, just every time you look at a leaderboard, if he isn't number one, he's two or three. He just,
right.
he seems to live up there. And it's like eventually he's going to get one. And personally, I think this guy and how much he bombs the ball. Him at St. Andrews could be very scary if the flat stick's working for him.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to put my money on the safe bet. I love Rory as a pick. I really do. I want to see Rory get back to Rory.
Because sure,
I
yeah.
believe he has the ability. He's the closest thing to Tiger we've seen in a long time.
Not
when
to
it comes
mention the fact
skill
that
level.
He's a Denver Broncos fan. So just add that in.
Yeah, fuck Rory. He's a piece of shit.
And Tiger, the only bad thing about him is he was a Raiders fan, but it's not his fault because he grew up in NoCal. So that's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm amazed at the time he grew up in NoCal. I'm amazed that the 49ers didn't just grab hold for that man. Winning breeds winning.
He was also SoCal, and he might have been the LA Raiders at that time. I'd have to go back and check.
Were,
but I've seen him at Raiders games wearing Raiders gear.
Oh, he's
so.
A Raiders guy.
But Rory's a Broncos fan, so I gotta love him for that.
I wonder if he followed them to Vegas or if he had to pick a new team.
That's a good question. Good,
we'll have to ask him. We'll get him on the show sometime. Yeah. You know how easy he is to
Hey,
get
listen,
on.
If you can, with all your resources now, as the producer of the Darren McCarty Show, go for it, my friend.
All right. Well, buddy, I appreciate you doing this with me. You and I love Masters Week.
Yeah, it's always
I know
fun.
I know for a fact that our phones will be blowing up between the two of us. Did you see that shot? He did that. It's how it is every year around this time. And yep. then we just got to get out and start playing golf ourselves, have our own version of the Masters.
Oh, man. It's always fun when we get outside on the golf course with some of our friends and family.
Particularly your family. Yeah. We won't name names.
We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to. And then tease it. Maybe we'll do a little something on here. We do have a little gambling match in the works between a friend of yours who he's heard the rumors and thinks he's the one to step into the ring with me. I'll be very interested to see when that happens and if it happens.
Having played golf with you over the past couple of years and getting to know you, I'm very afraid for my friend. That's all I'm going to say.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.